Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The Lakers got beat, and what happens next comes really squarely into focus. How desperate is this team heading into Thursday's trade deadline? What other teams around the league should be looking and moving? Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to Bobby Marks, our ESPN NBA front office insider, about that. Dan Graziano, get us up to date on some things going on in the NFL, as well as Harry Lyles, our great college football writer, yes, reporter, also covering March Madness, going to join us later in the show. But, Jhené, before we get to any of the on-court action for the NBA, because I always find this fascinating, you're getting ready for a WNBA season coming up. You and the Sparks are getting ready to go out there, do the damn thing here as the season gets going.
Yeah.
And so you're working two-a-days for basketball. You have everything going on the physical side, the physical demands of sports. But on a day like today, where you and I pop into our pre-show meeting and look at each other with the deadest look in our eyes right now, I got to ask you, did you ever think being in sports media, explain to people your day and the way it's looked right now and the baton you're handing off to me? Because I feel like you've realized that all of us gas bags over here may be working a little harder than you expected when you signed up here.
Look, let me tell y'all something, okay? I will take WNBA training camp on the grind two-a-days over ESPN two-a-day, three-a-day, four-a-day that myself and Golic Jr. are on. We are young, and we're proud of it. We're the rising voices of hopefully this network and this generation. And so we got to be on our grind and, you know, hold it down and represent. So your girl woke up at 5 a.m., got ready for First Take, did First Take, gave Max Kellerman, Stephen A. the business, okay? And then went over to SportsCenter, where I am on standby just in case any trade happens for the trade deadline, which is tomorrow. And then I did our podcast, First Take, Her Take, with Charlie Arnold and Kimberly A. Martin. And then I popped into our show meeting, pre-show meeting, where I saw you. And then now I'm doing my show prep and then now have, you know, our radio show, which I love and adore. And then after this, I got to go to my workout. So like, this was one of those early morning hard ones. And when I saw you on your grind on Highly Questionable this morning, and you had a podcast taping earlier today, I was like, man, we are a match made in heaven because both of us are drinking a lot of coffee today.
Yes, we are.
Cheers, friend.
I can say we are nothing but the full amount of coffee in our bodies during this day. Because if you were saying, you know what, I would like a lot of Jhené and Golic Jr. in my day today, you mentioned you could watch Jhené on First Take. You can download the podcast, First Take, Her Take. You can check us out from 4 to 7 on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You could have watched me on Highly Questionable at 2 this afternoon on this show, or after this on Sports Nation that's going to air tomorrow. So, Jhené, the people are going to get a lot of us today, and we're fine with that. We are here for that. We're going to be chugging coffee through this whole thing, trying to keep our eyes open and figure out what the hell's supposed to happen in this trade deadline right now. So, Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So, Jhené, what the hell is supposed to happen? Because we know the trade deadline's coming up Thursday, and I watched that Lakers team get their damn doors blown off by the Pelicans last night in a way that said, all right, I don't know if they can just stand idly by and wait for LeBron and AD to get healthy. So what can they do? What should they do heading into Thursday's trade deadline? Because it feels like they got to do something.
Based on the players that are, you know, probably being talked about, like the Kyle Lowrys, the Victor Oladipos, the Norm Powells, they probably won't make a move there. We spoke to Zach Lowe yesterday, our ESPN NBA insider and reporter, and he said, hey, they're more likely to be active at the buyout market, meaning guys like LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond that could go sign for a minimum, but also get out of their current situations and look for a longer-term deal later on. That's probably the caliber of guys that they need at the post, knowing that that's probably their most vulnerable position. So the Lakers probably will sit tight, but there are a number of teams, and I'm speaking of especially, you know, Eastern Conference contenders that I think will be active in the Philadelphia, it's your time. The 76ers are in the mix. I forgot. Y'all, Cliff is working the board.
Oh,
Philly
yeah.
Stand.
Don't worry. We got Good John, Bad John making its return today around here. More per capita Philly employees in ESPN Radio and on this show than any department probably in the country outside of Philadelphia. And so we've got our full segment dedicated to figuring out if this is a Good John or a Bad John. If you're asking what a John is, I don't know exactly. I think it's something that's pretty hard to describe, but Philly's going to hold us down. So you're saying Philly and the 76ers, right now, they sit in first place. They're sitting pretty. We know Joel Embiid's been injured, but what should they? Is this as simple as Kyle Lowry,
yes,
Toronto, Philly roots make it work?
Yes. Kyle Lowry, for those who don't know, is from Philadelphia, born and raised, went to Villanova, so that's a double whammy. And he's one of the most respected veterans in the league. He was a key piece that brought that title, you know, to Toronto. And he's like 34, 35. And so if you can sort of go big right now, considering, like you said, Junior, you're number one in the East. You're hopefully resting up Joel Embiid. You're still finding ways to win as we watched them beat the Warriors yesterday, I believe. You know, there are a lot of good pieces. Tobias Harris is having a great year. Ben Simmons, a defensive player of the year candidate. There's so many reasons where you can say our window is now. And Junior, this is the main point. There are a number of stars in the NBA whose health is a question mark right now. The latest being LeBron James, who's out for almost a month. Anthony Davis is out. Kevin Durant is out. Kyrie Irving is dealing a family matter. You have Giannis missing time. Jason Tatum missing time, which means that if you can keep it together, obviously Joel Embiid is in the mix too. But this is a year, a window where maybe the Utah Jazz, maybe the Phoenix Suns, shoot, maybe the Milwaukee Bucks, who have been quietly figuring themselves out, they can make a move that could give them a championship piece, like the 76ers can make that move and Kyle Lowry potentially, which would be really exciting considering how Brooklyn has really assembled a lot of weapons. It's an arms race. Right now, the NBA is absolutely an arms race, and Kyle Lowry could be that piece that sets another team to win the war.
So Philadelphia and Kyle Lowry seems like a very comfortable match in this spot. And Philadelphia gets to do this from what seems like a pretty advantageous position, because the other thing we always talk about, and a lot of the names that you mentioned, are young. And so this season is going to be a drop in the bucket. This season, there might not have to be that sense of urgency for everybody.
Yeah.
But this is where I want to circle back on the Lakers, Chinee, because looking at this team and where they sit, are they in trouble because of some combination of that age and injury? Charles Barkley, obviously a Hall of Fame hoops player, you hear him, see him on TNT all the time, was on ESPN Radio earlier today and was asked that question. Here's what Charles had to say.
They're only like 2 to 3 games from eighth place. So are they in trouble? Yes, they're in trouble. But they do have a really huge advantage. With no fans in the building, even if they start the first round of the playoffs on the road, it won't be like the old home court advantage. They could drop to 6th, 7th, maybe even 8th in the next in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But because there's no home court advantage, it really doesn't matter. As long as AD and Anthony are healthy when the playoffs start, they're still going to be a tough out. But to answer your question, they are in trouble. They're not going to stay. I think they're 3rd or 4th right now. They're going to be probably – they're probably not going to win a game in the next couple of weeks.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, yeah. No compromise. And Chinee, that would be something to watch, the Lakers potentially around the play-in game, but that assumes health coming back. And this is my question, because where I start to worry is Anthony Davis, calf strain, Achilles injury. Like, we know what that reminds us of. We brought up the Kevin Durant comparison and all of this. If Los Angeles really isn't comfortable with it, they're not winning a championship without Anthony Davis on the court this year. How do you think they deal with, in the building, the tension between LeBron James, who is only getting older, only getting closer towards the finish line, wanting to come back early if things aren't going well, wanting to maximize the championship window, and the Lakers as an organization saying, Anthony Davis is our future, and if we're not comfortable bringing him back, we really can't mortgage that future for this short-term success.
And this is where we get caught up in the lens of Los Angeles, LeBron James, the Lakers, because this is an issue that not only the Lakers are dealing with, but the Brooklyn Nets are dealing with. Also, the Philadelphia 76ers are dealing with. Health has been the number one reason why teams either will succeed or fail this year. We've been saying it ad nauseum. 71 days in between seasons, 2 seasons wrapped into one. The team that has the healthiest options, especially the top teams that know they can make a finals run, they're dealing with it. The Lakers are not immune. So I think that a lot of people are going to be extremely conservative, so much so that we saw, you know, Kevin Durant being, you know, slow to be evaluated. These guys are going to probably wait to the last moment knowing that, and now we're getting the answer. Championship is probably even more important than MVP, right? Like, championship for LeBron James at the age of 36 will be very important for him and his legacy over MVP if he's able to pull it off this year. So I think it's going to be a lot of conservative play, you know, from these stars, you know, in their return back. But at the same time, there's a lot at stake, because That's where I was laughing. Charles Barkley saying, man, they might not win another game. Which, like, low key, I mentioned it the other day. Like, the Pelicans can come and beat you. You've got the Jazz coming up. You've got the, you know, like, there's a lot of top teams that they're going to have to figure themselves out to figure out if they can stay in those standings. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Lakers deal with it. But more importantly, how the entire NBA and all the stars that are dealing with health do. Because the answer to that question will likely determine a champion.
And we'll talk to Bobby Marks, our ESPN NBA front office insider, about that in about 15 minutes, how we make these adjustments on the fly down the stretch for some of the league's contenders. But coming up next, I want to switch gears to the NFL because I heard a lot of chatter yesterday about Sam Darnold, about the Jets' number two pick in the draft, Zach Wilson, all these names getting thrown around. Coming up next, I'll tell you the one name I feel like people are not considering enough when we talk about the Jets' decision this upcoming spring. We'll do that next. Tanae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tanae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Tanae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Excited to talk to Bobby Marks in about 10 minutes here. Get us ready, our ESPN NBA front office insider, for what's coming up in the NBA trade deadline. But Tanae, I was sitting around yesterday, and during this show, in addition to singing and dancing like we usually always do, I always like peeking up at the screen and seeing what's going on with our friends over at NFL Live. We talk to Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes and them all the time around here. And I saw all the conversation around Sam Darnold and the Jets starting back up again. Mel Kiper Jr., our great draft analyst, put out another mock draft. And he went on ESPN Radio, and he said this about the Jets, Sam Darnold, and what they need to be doing at this draft pick still at this point in the spring.
This is Daniel Jones's year. This was this was Josh Allen's year, right? To shine. They had it all set up, Brandon Bean did, with Diggs and everything around him. This is Josh's year to silence the critics. This is Daniel Jones's year. Sam Darnold would be coming into this year and next year to do that. So you're going to let him go? This could be the year where it all comes together. Start helping the guy. So why are we casting him, putting him aside, push him to the curb, and we're going to bring somebody else in new when this is Sam's year? He went through all the negativity. He went through all the trials and tribulations of young quarterback. He's still only 23. We're going to cut him loose.
Mel's been pretty consistent about this, Chiney, and as we've gone through, we've seen him mocking at sometimes Zach Wilson at that number two pick to the Jets. He said he's about 50-50 on it at this point. Chiney, what I don't understand about this is, in all of this, when we talk about the Jets conversation, people talk about Sam Darnold, what they need to do, how much more they can get out of him. They talk potentially about Zach Wilson. I don't know why we're not talking enough about Robert Saleh in this, their new head coach, because that's who I think they need to be most concerned with in all this. I said at the very beginning, you need to go with what Saleh wants to do as the head coach, what he sees as the future for the quarterback spot. Because the last thing on earth you want for a GM in Joe Douglas who did not pick Sam Darnold, was not there when he was drafted, and now a new head coach coming into this situation is saying, hey, we got this great situation for you, a lot of cap space, second overall pick in the draft. We want to run it back with Sam and see if we can make it work. Maybe try. And if not, we might hand you back a similar position next offseason with a potentially worse draft pick in this spot, Chiney. I don't know why, as an organization, you're not saying, all right, we've made this regime change. Let's actually give them time to change what's going on here now.
Do you think his position, Robert Saleh, previously as a defensive coordinator, kind of hurts him in the conversation of what we want to do with this offense? And like, I love Mel Kiper Jr.'s point. Like, we're pro athletes here, you know, well, you know, pro for athletes.
I can say in favor of athletes. You were a pro athlete. Yes.
We're in favor of athletes. And so I believe every athlete should have a fair chance to go out there with, you know, adequate weapons. And finally, I understand that Sam Darnold has a couple of options now. I've been a big fan of Corey Davis because I think it was either I had him on fantasy, traded him, and all that type of stuff. But that's a sneaky good get. And so now to sort of give him a couple weapons, give him a new coach, why not see what you have there? But it's the pressure of that number two overall pick, as you say, Junior, that, you know, Mel Kiper put Zach Wilson slotted at. Where do you land on? Like, I think this is where, and you make this point so well, so often, having the synergy between the front office, the head coach, and the quarterback, or the most important player, no matter in sports, is what moves a franchise forward. Do you think that Robert Saleh's voice is probably not necessarily as large as it needs to be in determining the success of whether it's Sam Darnold or even just moving on?
I think We'll wait and see on that, because I think ultimately that'll tell us a lot about what's going to happen here, how much input he has in this, how much we hear from him publicly, and what that relationship looks like early. Because, Chiné, it's not to say Sam Darnold can't still be successful in his career. I think if he leaves and is successful, it's not an indictment on the Jets' decision-making here, because I think they've got to look at it like this, Chiné. It's not about finding out if Sam Darnold is great all of a sudden now or if he's terrible. The worst nightmare is, what if Sam Darnold goes out there next year and is just okay? Now you're 1 year at the point where you've got to go and decide if you're going to pay him long-term based off that. Now if you decide to move away from him, you're not at a draft pick sitting up at that number two spot like you are right now. You've got to spend more resources to get back in range for that. All for a one-year gamble on a guy who at times has shown you great stuff. But again, if you're thinking about this, and Chiné, you know this, pro sports tends to be a self-preservation business. And so if we're looking at from Joe Douglas's standpoint and from Robert Saleh's standpoint, do we want to hinder our start going into our future just trying to do right by someone who by all accounts seems like a good dude in Sam Darnold and a guy with talent, but in a self-preservation business, it just looks to me like you should give yourself the timeline, give yourself the reset of that salary clock with a young contract, a young quarterback contract, and never look back.
Not everyone is Aaron Rodgers that gets a nicely high-picked quarterback and goes and produces an MVP caliber season or an actual MVP season. There are a lot more non-Aaron Rodgers than actual Aaron Rodgers. So yeah, the pressure is on. But you're right. I think what this highlights is that there's really a mixed message going on within the New York Jets and their organization because, you know, me following Corey Davis, he came out and said, and we saw this on .com today, obviously I'm coming with my understanding that Sam is the guy. That doesn't scare me away at all. I've seen Sam do great things. And I have all the belief in him. Whatever direction they decide to go, it's on me to make sure that I'm ready. So he's going to be ready, but he thinks that Sam is probably going to be the guy. And you know how it is in locker rooms. When you have that sense, it's sort of overwhelming amongst players. But then we're reading the draft, you know, mock boards and Zach Wilson at two. So there has to be one unified message for them to move forward as a franchise.
Be on the same page. That is the only charge, and easier said than done, when it's the New York Jets. Chiné and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. What's the road ahead look like for some of the top teams in the NBA? The Lakers, the 76ers, even the Miami Heat. Who is desperate and who needs to move at the trade deadline? We'll answer those questions next after this word from DraftKings. Because we got UFC 260 coming up this weekend, and it's a can't-miss event. And DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. And if you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is super easy to play. You pick six players, you stay under the salary cap just like you would playing DraftKings for the NFL, and then you pile up points for advances, takedowns, and so much more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds all at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now. And when you do, use promo code CJR and get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code CJR only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Who's going to move first as we stare down the NBA trade deadline next on ESPN Radio?
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, it's NBA trade deadline day, so join us for the latest moves and rumors. Plus, the one and only Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, at 7:45 Eastern, Thursday morning on ESPN Radio.
So in about 10 minutes, I am actually shocked. One name in college football came out and said and supported a cause that I could have never seen coming. And we'll get to that in about 10 minutes on Chiné and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and two-time WNBA All-Star Chiné Agumake. But Chiné, before we get to that, have you seen this video going around of some high school kid trying Brian Scalabrine in the gym?
Oh, I saw that. And I've known Scal for a minute. I used to actually work with NBC Sports Boston. And that's a guy you don't need to try. Like, a lot of people, he always jokes like, yeah, everyone wants to say, I'll beat you, I'll beat you. I'm glad he put in the work on the court because he's showing people, no, you cannot.
I'm amazed that people will continually go at professional athletes or former professional athletes like they really think they're about it in that spot. As we welcome in now on the Goodyear Hotline, Bobby Marks, our ESPN NBA front office insider, to help get us hip on what's going on as we head to the trade deadline tomorrow. Bobby, you never got froggy when you were in the front office thinking you'd go challenge one of those guys to one-on-one, did you?
He's a football player.
You know, it's funny. I watched that video, and we drafted Scal in 2001 out of USC in the second round, and I wouldn't mess with Brian Scalabrine back then, and I wouldn't mess with him right now.
No, not the guy that you want to try in any way, shape, or form. And that young man learned a hard lesson there. But, Bobby, as we turn our attention now to the current pros in the NBA, a lot of injuries around the league, which seems like it means a lot of opportunity. So let's start with the Lakers. This team now down LeBron and Anthony Davis. Is there anything they can do coming up to the trade deadline to try and buoy themselves until their stars get back?
You know, it's interesting. Woj mentioned on the Zach and Lowe show earlier today as far as them having interest in a player like Kyle Lowry. To go out and do that, it will cost you probably Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Dennis Schroeder, and Talen Horton-Tucker, one of your younger players. That deal probably doesn't make them better right now, but it probably makes them better when we get into the postseason. When if you get LeBron and, you know, AD back, and you can add a player like Kyle Lowry. But that's the type of deals that, you know, that's probably the home run type deal they can do. As we've talked about, they're right against that hard cap at $1.5 million. They can't trade a first until 2027. They can simply ride it out, and hopefully they can hold on to that, you know, top six spot until these guys get back. But it doesn't seem like reinforcements are on their way unless they do make some type of trade here.
Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, here with us on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio as the NBA trade deadline approaches tomorrow. And Bobby, you mentioned Kyle Lowry. We all know that he's born and raised in Philadelphia, went to Villanova. What are the odds that he actually is a Philadelphia 76er? Or, you know, also, why are we talking about him as the number one piece that can help a championship team?
You know, it's rare that a team that is the, you know, certainly them in Brooklyn and Milwaukee are the top teams in the Eastern Conference would go out and make a 4-for-1 type trade and also lose one of your younger players, like a player like Tyrese Maxey and probably a first round pick also here. And that's what would happen in Philadelphia. It would cost them at least Danny Green just to make the money work to get to that $24 million number to get to Kyle Lowry. I'm less optimistic about Philadelphia today than maybe I was 2 or 3 days ago. I just watching that Sixers team last night without Joel Embiid and the way that Tobias Harris is playing, I don't think they need to do anything. I think they just need to get Embiid back healthy, and they're as good as any team in the Eastern Conference.
So, Bobby, if they don't need to go out and do anything, as you look around, which team is in most desperate need of a move, of a jump start going down the home stretch here?
Yeah, it's probably Boston. They've got that big trade exception at $28.5 million. I consider them a Tier 2 team. Them in Miami, they're not in that level where Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia are. Certainly the name out there is Aaron Gordon. That's been linked to them. The big question is, does Danny Ainge want to trade out first-round draft picks? It will probably cost you, you know, if you're Orlando looking for 2 first-round picks, Gordon's on a good contract. He's got another year left. But I would think the Celtics are that one team. I know Miami's been linked to Lowry, but that's another situation where it would probably cost them one of their younger players like Duncan Robinson.
And Bobby, you know, we've talked about players, we've talked about teams, but there are a number of guys that potentially could be on the move outside of, you know, Kyle Lowry, Aaron Gordon, Victor Oladipo, Norm Powell, which is crazy because the Raptors might be looking at a huge rebuild. Of the guys I mentioned, who are you probably, or even not that I mentioned, who are you most excited or intrigued to follow as the deadline approaches?
I'm probably more intrigued about Victor Oladipo. You know, he has not returned to the all-star level that we saw in Indiana before he got injured. I think you can get Oladipo on a low value at the deadline here. Can he change the landscape of a team in, you know, competing for a playoff spot? Potentially, maybe a team like Boston, if that's who they are trying to go after. But Oladipo is the name that I'm interested in. Norm Powell has played some great basketball over the last, month or two here. He's got a player option. He's going to be a free agent. So whatever you give up, you have to be content on, you know, he's going to cost you about $16 to $18 million when you get into free agency.
And Bobby, before we let you go, I just wanted you to tell the audience, everyone that's family here at Chanae and Golic Jr., how we go all the way back to midnight shows, ESPN Radio, NBA Insiders. Do you miss those days? Do you miss us?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just honored to be on your show right now. I mean, I didn't know if I'd get a call since you're big time right now, but
what?
I am honored to be on this show, and you have earned everything that you've received. And yeah, those were the days when we were doing these, you know, you know, we would be doing these 10 to 1 a.m. shows at NBA shows, and oh my goodness, I don't think we got double pay for that, but those were some long nights.
You know what, Bobby, you are always welcome here, always a friend of the show, but I know the feeling
family.
Of feeling like I'm lucky to just get sit next to her here. So
oh,
we've
gosh.
Got that much
this
in common.
This is not supposed to be about me, Bobby. I appreciate you and love you, and this guy always texts me back no matter the time or place and shows up. We appreciate you, and good luck getting sleep these days, Bobby, with the trade deadline.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Bobby Marks also in the Bald Brotherhood with me here.
Yes.
So we've got even more in common on that stuff. Great stuff. Follow him at Bobby Marks 42 as we get up to the trade deadline. Plenty of great information coming from him. Zach Lowe, Woj, Brian Windhorst, all our NBA insiders. Set your notifications on there. Get your life right. Make sure you're ready to go for everything.
Yeah, I made the mistake of setting my notifications for Woj tweets, and now it's like every time, bam, 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 I get so nervous. Did something happen? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I was going to say, that one you got to be careful with right now, because Woj is breaking all of the news there. So you're going to get everything there, not even just the major Woj bombs in that situation. But coming up next, it wasn't a Woj bomb, but I was genuinely shocked. One college coach entered the chat about transfers, player movement in a way that I could not have predicted knowing who this coach was. We'll get to that next after this word from Body Armor. And listen, Shanae's been working hard this morning, so Magic Mike's going to take over here for a little bit.
Do your thing, boo.
At some point, people are going to get sick of this bit. It's not anytime soon, because I am loving it right now. I'll tell you why I'm loving it. Body Armor Lite is here to help you achieve your fitness goals this year. I told everyone during the break, and they laughed at me. I'm doing a 5K every day. It might be a walk. It might be a run. But I'm doing a 5K. We're getting that summer body, and we're getting it now. The post-vaccine body. Body Armor Lite is here for the low-calorie sports drink, hydrating your active lifestyle. Flavors like berry punch and coconut. There's no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Lets me wear a crop top when I get to this summer. Live like me. Athletes like Diana Taurasi, Donovan Mitchell, and Megan Rapinoe all use Body Armor Lite to stay hydrated, so why not give it a try? And from now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product, and you're going to earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Back after this, with a little bit of one and done on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Thanks to Bobby Marks, our ESPN NBA front office insider, stopping by and giving us some trade deadline previews. We'll get back into that. The 76ers and the Lakers fascinate me in their going into the back half of the NBA season, what they need to try and make a championship run, because everybody's injured right now, and so there's a lot of opportunity. Shanae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. and Shanae Agwumike. But Shanae, you know how it goes around here. Like, so there's a weird ebb and flow to everything around here because obviously we're very much into the NBA season right now. We got a lot of that going on. We have the NFL draft coming up soon. But every once in a while, these college headlines work their way back into our lives. We went through this with what's going on in the tournament bubbles, what wasn't happening on the women's side in that bubble. But now college football has worked its way back into the conversation sooner than expected. And college wrestling has found its way to the forefront here. When it comes to college issues, you know there's only one spot for that. There's only one show for that. And there's one and done for that.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
And Shanae, starting things off in the world of college football, I was shocked. We read not too long ago a headline about the ACC, their new conference commissioner coming in and changing, taking away completely their intra-conference transfer rules, meaning if you wanted to go and transfer from Clemson to Pitt, you would no longer have to sit out a year to do so. We've talked about transfers for undergraduate players for a while, and it seemed like the ball was rolling in that direction. You and I both figured, all right, if the ACC is doing this, surely this could be a domino. Surely this could put pressure on other conferences. Lincoln Riley has entered the chat now. Oklahoma's head coach confirmed on Wednesday that Oklahoma was not releasing quarterback Chandler Morris, who had transferred to TCU, saying that Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma are opposed to transfers within the conference becoming eligible immediately. Riley said on a Zoom to reporters, quote, "This particular situation for us is about something we believe in. Myself, the leadership here at OU, we think it's unhealthy for college football to encourage interconference transfers. That's something we've been adamantly opposed to for a long time. I get the landscape is changing. We're certainly watching this and we'll adapt as the world changes, but this has nothing to do with that or the person. Chandler Morris did a tremendous job here. He's a terrific young man." And Chiney, he can say that Chandler didn't do anything wrong, but it doesn't seem like there's anything right about this situation then if that's the case. And I'm surprised because Lincoln Riley has tended to be one of the guys we think of as a bit more forward-thinking, one of the younger coaches in college football, and so wildly successful in large part thanks to transfer quarterbacks. The irony is that it would seem, based on his track record, Lincoln might benefit more than anybody in this. If a quarterback's not working out, he is one transfer and the Midas touch away from another Baker Mayfield, another Kyler Murray, all on and on down in these situations that have worked well for him. I don't see the win here, Chiney, for opposing what seems to be coming. I know that transfers, especially intra-conference transfers, no sitting out for a year, it's going to be bad for coaches because they've already got to recruit guys coming out of high school and they know it's more work for them. But as long as they're making all these gross, bloated salaries and the players are getting none here, I'm fine heaping a little extra work on your plate in these spots if it means giving the players some bit of freedom, some bit of leverage in this.
And that's a perfect segue to players getting some leverage, players getting some freedom, because we've seen in the March Madness NCAA tournament the hashtag not NCAA property. And we've seen athletes use their voices and their platforms, even going to social media, as we saw on the women's side, right? Now, I've been following Stanford women's basketball, who has been crushing it in the NCAA tournament, but also Stanford wrestling, just because of a hashtag out there, hashtag keep Stanford wrestling. Now, you remember not too long ago that I said one of the most heartbreaking emails that I received was from my university and our athletic department, our athletic director, who said that they are going to cancel a number of sports programs for Stanford based on the pandemic and the crunches that the budgets have been receiving. Men's and women's fencing, field hockey, lightweight rowing, men's rowing, co-ed and women's sailing, squash, synchronized swimming, men's volleyball, and wrestling. Now, we just had the national championships for wrestling, and Shane Griffith won the national title Saturday at the NCAA men's championships, and he chose not to wear the Stanford red apparel as typically athletes do, right? Like normally you wear your uniform. Instead, he was wearing an all black singlet in an act of protest against the school for cutting the program. Now, we understand that the crunch happened for a reason, but still a lot of these athletes don't have the freedom to express themselves unless it comes to earning their stripes on the grandest stage and making sure that their action is followed by, you know, dominance. And that's exactly what we saw: a national champion, a champion wrestler, and then now the platform to be able to say, hey, we are real human beings that have had our lives changed, altered, or even our sports cut. And now using that platform to advance the dialogue about how can we make this better? How can we rectify it? And now wrestling alumni at Stanford have launched fundraising efforts to try to endow the program. They've raised, what, $12.5 million towards that goal. And they've partnered with a larger athlete alumni group called 36 Sports Strong. That includes Senator Cory Booker, who is most notably known for the College Athlete Bill of Rights that he's pushing, that's now at the feet of the Supreme Court. So this is another instance of athletes not just sitting back and waiting for their time and just dealing with the situations that they're presented. They're being proactive. They're trying to find creative ways to make sure that their dreams are fulfilled. And we just saw Shane Griffith become one of them. And one of my favorite things was he was talking about his relationship with his dad in his fight to try to show people why this matters to him and to a number of athletes that have lost their sport. And he said, quote, "In the middle of the night one night, I just texted my dad. I said, you know what? We're not going to question it. We're going to rip it and we're going to win the NCAAs this year. All right, buddy." His dad said, "I'm right there with you." So with his dad and his family in the stands, him making a statement, but most importantly, backing it up by being a national champion, you're seeing athletes flex their boundaries and their worth. And I think this dialogue will continue. It's not just a hashtag. It's athletes fighting for their futures in real time.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. And I think you're right, Janae. I think what we've seen, whether it's the NCAA Women's Tournament, Stanford Wrestling, or in a lot of cases in college football, athletes realizing if you say something out loud in public, you can bring pressure from the outside that's going to help you in a way your school might not in these spots. So, always something we're passionate around here, but coming up next, we are also passionate about the NBA. And as we head into the home stretch of the season, there are a couple of teams poised to make moves. We'll tell you who they are and what they do next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.